The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Ara Ta'anit, Daf Gimal. Today's Daf is being studied by the Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu began Eden, Amen. Today's Daf is being studied by Hatzlaha Bechol Ma'asim. Our dear friend, Mr. Sorli Mizrahi, and his wife, Shem Yishmerim Vihayim. Today's daf is being studied L'Rfuah Shelema Eliyahu Hayim Ben Shafia. En la refanalo Rufat ha-nefesh Rufat ha-gufa Rufatok Rufa Lava V'chen Yerasom V'Nomar Amen. We begin today's daf on Gimal Amud Rishon, three lines from the top. Tanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Natan Omer Bakodesh Hasech Nesech Shechar L'Hashem. This pasuk is written by the Korban Olat Tamid. And it says, the Korban will be brought Bakodesh. And it says, Hasech Nesech Shechar. You will pour a libation of Shechar L'Hashem. Now it says a double language here. Hasech Nesech. Implying that there is a double libation, a double pouring. B'shne Nesuchim Akatu Medaber. The pasuk is referring to two pourings. Echad nisuch ha-mayim, ve'echad nisuch ha-yayin. So you see over here that there's two pourings. One wine, one water. The Gemara says, who told you it's water? Ema tarvayu dehamra. Maybe it's two pourings of wine. Im ken lichtov kera o hasech hasech o nesech nesech. Let the Torah then write the same word twice, if it's talking about a double libation of wine. My hasech nesech. Why does the Torah use a different language? Hasech and then nesech. Shemat minna to teach us. Had de maya vehad de hamra. Must be one is water and one is wine. You have to say as well that he also agrees. How do you know it's water? How do you know it's water at all? So you have to say that he agrees to the remez that we learned yesterday, that the Torah does allude to on the second day, and on the sixth day, and on the seventh day, when it says v'niskehem, there's an extra mem, and on the sixth day, when it says unsecheh, there's an extra yod, and on the seventh day, when it says k'mishpatam, there's an extra mem, so he agrees to the illusion of mem yud mem, and he just learns from over here, the pasuk when it says asech nesek, hey, you learn that there's two. And what is that second item? That is mayim. So the Gemara says, that which we learned in a Mishnah. Nisuch HaMayim Kol Shiva'a says that the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim was done all 7 days. Mani, who is the author of this Mishnah? Now what the Gemara is going to do now is, it's going to go back to the opinions that we learned in yesterday's Braita, and it's going to systematically reject all the opinions and say nobody is of this opinion that says Nisuch HaMayim was all 7 days. Let's go one rabbi at a time. Rabbi Yoshua, if you tell me it's Rabbi Yoshua, Nema Had Yoma. Rabbi Yoshua of the Braita, as well as the Mishnah, said that the Nisuch, the mitzvah of saying Mashiva Ruach Bidei Geshem, is on the last day of the holiday, which is Shemini Atzeret. We're assuming now that Mashiva Ruach Bidei Geshem and Nisuch HaMayim work together. And therefore, if he says you do Mashiva Ruach on the last day, that's when you start asking for rains, or mentioning rains, that's because you're doing the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim also, which is also a procedure for the production of rain, the wanting of the rains. So therefore, according to him, it's only one day, because Mashiva Ruach is on the last day. So therefore, Nisuch HaMayim is on the last day. That cannot be the author of this Mishnah. This Mishnah says it's all seven. Let's go to the next opinion. Rabbi Akiva, Tre Yomeh. Rabbi Akiva said, when does Nisuch HaMayim begin? On the sixth day. So we assume that it started on the sixth day and it went six and seven. Therefore, Nisuch HaMayim was only a 2 day procedure. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, Shita Yomeh. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, it was a 6 day procedure, because he said it starts on the second day of Sukkot. So basically, the Gemara is now struggling to find an author of this Mishnah. Now, Rashi's going to tell us it's obvious it can be like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer held that you do Meshivah on the first day, assuming that it works with, again, Nisuk HaMayim, so therefore it starts on the first day, so you do it all 7 days. The Gemara is trying to find, does any other opinions of the Braita match with this Mishnah? So the Gemara says, De'olam Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterai. I can tell you really it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. How can it be? He says you start Nisuk HaMayim on the second day. So 2 to 7 is only 6 days. So he goes with Svira Lek Rabbi Yehuda de Matnitin, but he holds of Rabbi Yehuda of another Mishnah, Ditnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Belo Gayam Minasek, called Shimona. We have another opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Nisuk HaMayim was done all 8 days. Now keep that in mind. That means we have an opinion now that even on Shemini Atzeret, Nisuk HaMayim was done. It was done all 8 days. So what is Rabbi Yehuda going to do? Umapik Rishonu Ma'ayel Shemini. So all Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera will say is start Nisuk HaMayim on the second day and take it to the eighth. If you go 2 to 8, you're back to 7 days. So that's what the Mishnah meant in Masechet Sukkah when it said Nisuk HaMayim Kol Shiva'a. It didn't mean all the 7 days of Sukkot. It meant it's a 7 day ritual, which means start on day 2 and go all the way to day 8. So therefore all we're saying is Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, he agrees you started on day 2. Well, we thought, go 2 to 7. 2 to 7 is only 6 days. Well, so how can he be the author of that Mishnah that said it was 7 days? No, because he holds, in part, he holds, like that Mishnah that says, that Rabbi Yehuda, different Rabbi Yehuda says, that the Nisuk HaMayim was done all 8 days. So all we're taking from that Mishnah is that you see an opinion that it was done on the 8th day. So therefore, I'll say Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera holds it started on day 2, and went to day 8. 2 to 8 to 7. So there we found an author of that Mishnah. So the Gemara has hold it. Umay shena rishon delo. How come Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera says you don't do Nisuk HaMayim on the first day? Dechi remizi maya mayim bashinihu dremizi. Because the reason why I picked the second day is because when does that remiz of mayim begin in the Torah? That mem yud mem remiz. It begins on the second day. So that's why he started from the second day. So then for that matter, Sheminina me, ki remizi mayim, b'shevirihu d'remizi. How could you tell me that he says Nisuk HaMayim goes to the eighth day? The rem is of mem yud mem, the final mem is on which day? On the seventh day. So for the same reason that he doesn't include day 1 to Nisuk HaMayim, you can't tell me he's going to include day 8. The reason why it does 2 to 7 is because that's what the remez is. The remez starts on day 2 and ends on day 7. So therefore you can't tell me that he holds, it went from 2 to 8. So back to the question again, who's the author of this Mishnah? Ela Rabbi Yehoshua. Well, that says Hadush. I can tell you it's Rabbi Yehoshua. What do you mean? Rabbi Yehoshua said that you start saying Mashiach Rabbi Geshem on the 8th day. On the Shemini Atzeret. How can you tell me that the Nisuk HaMayim is going to be all 7? Kabbalah says, V'nisuk HaMayim kol shiva'ah el-cheta gemidila. Two separate subjects. We have a halakha Moshe Sinai that tells me Nisuk HaMayim was done all 7 days. Which means, Mashiva Ruah of Sukkot. Which means, Mashiva Ruah of the Geshem, that's the deen of Rabbi Yehoshua, from when you put down the lulav on the 8th day, as we learned. Oh, what about Nisuk HaMayim? Separate subject. Don't link Mashiva Ruah HaGeshem to Nisuk HaMayim item. Nisuk HaMayim is Halakha Moshe Sinai. That says you got to do it all 7. That's can be going like even Rabbi Yehoshua. The Amar of Ami, Amar of Yohanan, Meshuv Rabbi Nuhanya, Ish Bechat Bet Hortan. The rabbi said, Esir Neti'ot Araba V'Nisuk HaMayim Halakha Moshe Sinai. He had a grouping of 3 Halakha Moshe Sinai. What are they? Number 1, Esir Neti'ot. Remember, we learned that normally halakha says Shemitah starts on saying Tishri. But before Tishri already, the halakha says if a person has a field with trees, already he has to stop working from Erev Shevi'it. However, when it comes to Esed Neti'ot, those are 10 sapling trees, small trees that are planted in a Betse'ah, in a area of a Betse'ah. So the law is you're allowed to plant, you're allowed to work that field until the Shemitah actually starts. You don't have to start a month before. You're allowed to go until the Shemitah itself. Why? Because these saplings over here that are planted in a confined area, if you're not going to work the field, the saplings are going to die. It's going to be hefsed. And therefore, the Tanakh Moshe Mishinai says, regular trees that are solid trees, when you have to start from before. However, when it comes to Esed Netiot, since they're small young trees in a small confined area, and therefore if you're not going to plow them and work them, they're going to die. So therefore, it's permissible to work them up until Shemitah. Look at Rashi, Esed Netiot ha-fuzzarot betoch betzeah, horshin kol betzeah, erev shivit ad rosh hashanah. Afagad, there's shalat sadot en horshin lefteh shivit lam midyom. Even though other fields, you have a 30-day period where you cannot plant. If you're not going to plow around them, they are going to die. You're going to lose them. That's the first halakha b'Shem Sinai. What's the second halakha b'Shem Sinai? Esen nitiot arava. What's the arava? So Tosfot tells us what arava is. Arava shemakifin et ha-mizbeach. That's what we learned in Masechet Sukkah, that they used to go around the Mizbeach, those long Arabot. That was a special mitzvah that was done in the Beit HaMikdash. The mitzvah of Arava, circling the Mizbeach with the Arabot. Furthermore, was the third one? Nisuch HaMayim. That what? That it's done, not only Nisuch HaMayim that it's done, but it's also done all 7 days. Now let's read Rashi. Let's read the Rashi, Ela Rabbi Yoshuahi. Now the basic topic of Rashi over here is, when the Gemara says that that Mishnah is Rabbi Yoshua, does it mean exclusively Rabbi Yoshua, or can it be some of the other rabbis as well? So Rashi begins, Ela Rabbi Yoshua'i de'amar mish'at anahato. Remember we learned Rabbi Yoshua, the bright, that says, when do you start Mashivat Rav Degeshem? From the day you start putting down the lulav, correct? I'm just reading the Agota Bach. Who? Okay. Da'ainu b'shivi'i. Now again, let's keep in mind, we're going to see that she contradicts himself here a few times. Because yesterday we learned b'shivi'i, but the Maram, the Ranchburg told us that when Asi says it's the shivi'i, it really means shemini. Because you really put down the lulav on the 7th. You don't start until the 8th. Here again now that she goes back and tells me, b'shata na'adu da'ainu b'shivi'i. Well, we're not learning shivi'i. We're learning really it's on the 8th. Okay, so we have to always amend that in our understanding of Rashi. That's why the Ranchburg told us. Meaning, Hainu b'shivi'i, that's when you put down the lulav. That's what Rashi's telling you. The lulav is put down on the shivi'i, but you don't stop the shivi'i until the following day. Okay. Maskir, v'afal pichin, even though he says that Nisuch HaMayim, I'm sorry, the shivi'i is only on the last day, but Shivini Atzeret, v'afal pichin savar, t'nisuch HaMayim kol shiv'ah. He still can order Nisuch HaMayim, it's all 7. Why? The Gamra Gamila Lacha Moshe Sinai. He has a tradition from Sinai to Nisuch HaMayim Kol Shiv'ah. Okay, so that's the way he's learning. Now Rashi goes on. Vadai can it be the Ezer Atesh Apir. Goes without saying that this Mishnah that said Nisuch HaMayim Kol Shiv'ah, Vadai can be going to be the Ezer. Because when did the Bili Ezer start saying Yisrael Mashiach Muhammad Al Geshem? Day 1. So they want, so that's when you start the Nisuch HaMayim as well. So quite then, we had never a doubt that the Mishnah could be going like him. Aval k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, uch Rabbi Akiva, lo metukma. But according to those two rabbis, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, it says clearly Nisuch HaMayim starts on day 2. Or according to Rabbi Akiva, it says Nisuch HaMayim clearly begins on day 6. Because that's where we have the remes, right? We have the unsecheha, according to Rabbi Akiva, right? That's the day it says 2 pourings. Ela lahachi lo mukila k'Rabbi Eliezer. Oh, so then why didn't the Buddha Mishnah, how come the Gemara didn't just say it's not going to be the Ezer? I mean, if it's obviously not going to be the Ezer, so just say, Mishnah is not going to be the Ezer. Da'a lo mev'e'e I Rabbi Eliezer sfida le'achi, devadai Rabbi Eliezer at teshapit. That wasn't the Sheila. Ve'ha de'kam okim ki Rabbi Yoshua ributa kamashmalan. The Gemara is trying to say a big hadush. Even it could be going like Rabbi Yoshua. Even though Rabbi Yoshua says the Sukkaman was on the Mashivir on the 8th day, still, he could say that Nisuch HaMayim was done all 7 halakha b'Shem Sinai. So now she's really telling us the Gemara did not want to tell us the obvious. The obvious is it's Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara wanted to go a little further and say, could it be going like even somebody else? In this case, Rabbi Yoshua. Aval, can Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, Rabbi Akiva, lo metukma. But it cannot be like those two rabbis. Why? Rabbi Yehuda yalif mevene emar b'sheni v'niskehim. So he learns that Nisuch HaMayim name starts on day 2. Must be only 6 days, starting from day 2 to day 7. Right? We're not going to say that he went from 2 to 8. That was the Gemara's question. Just like he doesn't go from 1, he's not going to go to 8. Like the Gemara asked. לא עתיק רבי יהודה, רבי עקיבא ידיף מאונסחיה. Now what day was Unsakeha written? Unsakeha is a plural language. That was said on Shneemar Bashishi. Amad the Savad Nisukha Mayim Lo Ave'ela Treyome. It's only 2 days, meaning day 6 and 7. Aval Rabbi Yoshua Mitukma. Rabbi Yoshua, I can say, he says on Shemini Atzeret, but he has the Halakha Moshe Sinai. Lefichach En Maskirin Ela B'Yom Tov Acharon Degeshamim Behag Siman Kelala. Now, I have to say, the reason for the Rabbi Yoshua, why you don't mention it on the holiday Meshiva Ruah, is because Siman Kalala factor, like we learned in the Mishnah. Avan Nisukha Mayim Avikos Shvaad, the Gemara Gamir La. Like we said, he has a tradition. So that's really Shitat Rashi. So if somebody would ask, who is that Mishnah in Sukkah that says Nisukha Mayim Kos Shvaad, who's it going like? Shitat Rashi can be going like two opinions. Either be the Ayazir, Vadai, or even Rabbi Yoshua. Who can it not be going like according to Rashi? Rabbi Yudah Vetera and Rabbi Akiba. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Just let's look at this quickly. It's Tosafot of Eser Netiot, just to get one halakha. Eser Netiot, Pirush Rashi, Zayin. Right, Eser Netiot Mefuzarot Bebet Se'ah. You have 10 saplings, small trees, that are scattered in a Bet Se'ah. Horesh Kol Bet Se'ah Bishviran. You can plow the entire Bet Se'ah, which means not only under the trees. You can even go around the whole area. Why? Because all the niti'ot are drawing nutrient from the entire field. So therefore the whole field becomes now plowable. They only need up to a bet se'ah's worth. Because this is considered ukme ilana. It's maintaining the tree. By planting, by plowing the entire Bet Se'ah, it's ukme ilana. It's going to sustain the tree, keeping it alive. Aval yoter me Bet Se'ah, enu horesh. But if it's more than a Bet Se'ah, enu horesh ela kedet surkan. Then you can only plow what they need. You can't just go plow the whole area with the 10 saplings, obviously. No, ilum fuzarot me yoter me Bet Se'ah, since they're scattered in more than a Bet Se'ah, Kaimir Shapir. That already they can be they can maintain themselves fine. So really it's that ratio. 10 saplings in a Bet Se'ah, you can do the whole thing. More than a Bet Se'ah, you cannot go just plant or plow everything. You can only plow in the area that's going to maintain them. I just cannot plant. Fachot mikan, and less than that area, lema kaime. Which means they're not going to sustain themselves because it's too small of an area to have these 10 saplings. And really they're destined just to be pulled out. So therefore we would not be allowed to pluck because they're not going to exist in such a situation. It's only saplings. That's what Allah comes to says, Eser Nitiot, Aval Ilanot, Asud Deoraita Kol Elul. Regular trees of the Torah, it's a surah already a month before. Umid Rabbanan, already the rabbis will say it. Pesach ba'aser it. They made gezerot from Pesach or Shavuot. Tikum b'steh alavan ad Pesach mutar, but Pesach olal asur v'zde ilan ad aser it. Mutar mikave ilak asur. When it comes to wheat, the wheat fields are asur from Pesach, mid Rabbanan, and the trees are asur to plow from already Shavuot. All right, so that's some of the dinim regarding Eser Netiot. Okay, comes the Gemara, continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yoshua Oved Lefnei HaTeva B'Yom Tov Acharon Shil Chag Acharon Maskir HaRishon Eino Maskir M'Yom Tov HaRishon Shil Pesach HaRishon Maskir Acharon Eino Maskir. Let's get the opinion of the Braita again. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. That right? This is a statement of the Mishnah. That actually Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. That what? On the last day of Shemini Atzeret, that's the last day of the holiday, Ha'acharon Maskir, the Musaf starts to mention Meshiva Rome de Geshem, Harishon Eno Maskir, Shalit, no. So the changeover is in Shemini Aseret, thank you, Shemini Aseret, Musaf. And the change back is Pesach, day one, Musaf. This is the quote over here that we just learned in our Bright over here, that the B Yehuda quoted Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says, hey Rabbi Yoshua, Which Rabbi Yehoshua is this over here? Which Rabbi Yehoshua is this over here? Which is, again, you have to keep in mind, we had Rabbi Yehoshua of the Mishnah. What did Rabbi Yehoshua of the Mishnah say? He said, Yom Tov Aharon. Now, Yom Tov Aharon, what does that mean, Yom Tov Aharon? The last day. Can mean even Shacharit. Right, he didn't say Musaf in the Mishnah. Yom Tov Aharon is the last day. Well, it could even be Shacharit. There's no reason why not to think that's Shacharit. Or could it be the night? Now, in the Braita, clearly it says, Rabbi Yehoshua says, Mish'at HaNachato. From the time that you put down the Lulav. Now that already could be night. Okay, when you put down the Lulav. I put the Lulav down in the 7th. I mean, that night, Stav HaShivu Ramad Egeshev. So already the Yehoshua, we got a couple opinions here. I got a Yehoshua of the Mishnah, that's Mashma, 8th day. 8th day, Shacharit. Because it's Miyom Tov HaAcharon. I have bright over that's mashma the night, and then I got a Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. That's mashma, it's on the 8th. That mashma says clearly that says it's on the 8th day, Musaf. So that Gemara has got to reconcile over here who's all these opinions. So the Gemara says, hey Rabbi Yehoshua, which Rabbi Yehoshua is this? Again, Rabotai, this quote is a quote from the Braita that we had on Da'amud Bet. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. To that end, the Gemara says, hey Rabbi Yehoshua, if you're going to say it's Rabbi Yehoshua of the Mishnah, Ha'amar miyom tov aharon shel chag hu maskir. He says you do it from the Yom Tov Aharon, which is mashma even Shacharit. Ela Rabbi Yehoshua de Braita. Ha'amar mish'at hanachato. Well, you told me it's from the time that you put down the lulav. Now again, Rashi says over here to confuse things. Da'ainu b'shivi'i. So you have to learn Rashi over when he means da'ainu b'shivi'i that you put down the lulav. Da'aka ketani yom tov aharon shulchag da'ainu b'shmini. It's not mashma like that from the end of Rashi. It's mashma that he's making the question that Rabbi Yehoshua is 7 in the Braita and Rabbi Yehoshua over here is 8. So therefore, again, we have to learn that, like the Ranchberg will make the Hiluk, that according to the Yehoshua of the Bright, it means the night. And here it's clearly saying it's in Musaf of the 8th. So basically, we're at a question. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. Which Rabbi Yehoshua are you? Are you Rabbi Yehoshua of the Mishnah? Can't be. Because that says you do it in Shacharit. Is Rabbi Yehoshua of the Bright? That's Mashma, it's in Arbit. So which Rabbi Yehoshua are you? The two, we have another question. Ha de Tanya. Unrelated question, but it's going to become related very, very, very soon. Rabbi Yehuda omer mishum ben betera. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of ben betera. The rabbi's name, ben betera. Ha oved if that teva b'yom tov acharon shel chag. Ha acharon maskir. Same law. The changeover is on the last day Shemini Atzeret in Musaf. That's when you start saying, Meshiva ruah omer geshem. Hey ben betera. Well, who's this ben betera rabbi? Either Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. If you tell me it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, can't be. Ha amad b'shini b'chagu maskir. Then we learn in the Braita, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera says you start saying Mashivu Rav Yisrael on the second day. Second day Shalit based on the Sukhamayim situation. Here it's saying Rabbi Yehuda said the name of ben Betera that it's on the last day. So who's this ben Betera? It can't be Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera of the Braita because it's a different shita. So it was Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak. Nachman bar Yitzchak comes to solve the question. Te'et tarvayu b'Rabbi Yehoshua ben Betera. We created a new rabbi. It's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Betera. New rabbi. And therefore I can say both statements of Rabbi Yehuda. Are we talking about the same rabbi? One time Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. Who's Rabbi Yehoshua? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Betera. And one time Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of ben Betera. Sometimes he calls him Rabbi Yehoshua. Sometimes he calls him ben Betera. Now, why would he refer to him one time as Rabbi Yehoshua and one time as ben Betera? Zimnin de kari de bishme. Sometimes he calls him by his name, Rabbi Yehoshua. Zimnin de kari de bishme de Abba. And sometimes he calls him by his father's name, and he's son of Betera. Now, why would he do that? Be'ah mekameh de l'smichuhu. Be'ah lebatal l'smichuhu. Depend, before he got simicha, because they didn't always give simicha out in Babel. So before he got simicha, they didn't refer to them as their name. They called him ben Betera. But after he got simicha, he got ordination, then already he called them Rabbi Yehoshua. So therefore it comes out that Rabbi Yehuda that quotes Rabbi Yehoshua in his Braita, that's got nothing to do with Rabbi Yehoshua of the Mishnah and Rabbi Yehoshua of the Braita. Different Rabbi Yehoshua. This is Rabbi Yehoshua ben Betera. Different rabbi. Therefore, we don't have to reckon his shita with any of the shitot that we said in the Mishnah and the Braita. Now the only problem is you do have a stira between Rabbi Yoshua himself. Because Rabbi Yoshua of the Mishnah said 8th day, right, during the last day, and Rabbi Yoshua of the Braita said Mishnah Tanahato. But that you can solve. That you can say really it's saying the same time. You see, I can say Mishata Nahato is either the night, and I can say that's what he meant in the Mishnah as well, meaning you don't do it till the last day. Okay, last day means the night. I didn't say when you do it. He says, B'yom Tov Aharon. B'yom Tov Aharon is Shmini Atzeret. Therefore, there's a way to reckon the B'Yoshua of the Mishnah to the B'Yoshua of the Bright. That I don't have a problem with. But we had a problem with the B'Yuda in the name of the B'Yoshua. That's what you do to Musaf. Well, who's that? So he goes, no, that's a different rabbi. That's a Yoshua ben Betera. And therefore, we have the opinions clarified. Comes the Gemara and says, what's his
source?
Why does it on the Musaf?
Where did he learn? What did he base it on? The Mashiach Baruch. So
well, he's going to obviously hold the inyan of siman kelala, so that he's not going to want it. Nisuch, it could be 7 days.
Right.
That doesn't affect Nisuch. We'll say it's on the 7 days you have Nisuch, kalakal of Shem Sinai. He says Mashivar was on the 8th day, because we don't want to mention anything with rains on Sukkot, because it's a siman kelala. And why do we do it in Musaf? Like we learned in the Tosafot yesterday from the Yerushalmi, because we didn't want to do it in Arbit, because now people don't show up for Arbit. We didn't want to do it in Shari, because people are going to think that we really did it in Arbit, next year they're going to start doing it in Arbit. So therefore we do it in Musaf. That's the Shitav Rabbi Yoshua. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tana. Betal uberuhot. Lo hayibu hachamim lazkir. A new point. When it comes to mentioning about the dew, we call that murid atal uberuhot, or referring to winds, like we would say mashiva ruach. When it comes to these mentionings, lo hayibu hachamim lazkir, you really don't have to mention them at all. They're not mandatory items in the Amidah. That she says, she's even in the winter when you use that to this winds and stuff like that. Doesn't matter. These items are not mandatory. Lefi, the Gemara says, if you want to mention them, you can mention them, meaning it's voluntary. Because they don't stop. That she says, Lefi she'en ne'atzarin, she'el maleh. Because if they would stop, if there would be a day where you didn't have dew, or a day that you didn't have winds, the world cannot exist. The fact that we added ruach into the prayer, you told me not to do it, so why do we add it? Not because you're obligated, which is because that's the way of the rains. Because what happens? It rains, and then the wind is very beneficial after a rain. Because what does the wind do? It dries up the land. So therefore, since it's connected to rains, wind. So we mention it with the rains. Technically, if you wanted to mention Mashivar all year round, you can do it. But we put it with the rains, as she says, because it's connected with the rains in the sense that after it rains, dries up the land. And fine, Kedibe Samuch, Zikad Batar Mitra, Kemitra. Like the Gemara is going to say that it's beneficial to have winds after rain. A wind after the rain, the Gemara is going to say, is valuable like a rain in itself. But therefore, we say Mashivar over the Geshem. Another simple interpretation is because the winds blow the clouds. The clouds are over the oceans. Right? That's where the rain clouds form. Without the wind, it would just keep on raining over the ocean. So you need the wind to come blow the clouds from over the ocean, bring it to the earth. So Meshiva Ruach, Murid HaGeshem. So therefore, we mention it. But again, not obligated to mention it, because the Gemara is saying, whether you mention it or not, they don't stop. It's not an item that you have to pray for in the sense, because the world cannot exist without winds. So it's got to happen. Mashiachin, let's say rain. Rain, sometimes it stops, sometimes it doesn't happen. Therefore, it's talu on the tefillot of the people. So again, tal doesn't stop. Every day there's dew. And wind, every day there's wind. So Kamsi Gemaran says, how do you know this? Vital Minalan. Comes Gemara and says, how do you know that do the lom mi'etzar, that it doesn't stop? So the Gemara goes now to a story with Eliyahu Hanavi and the king Ahav. Dichtiv vayomer Eliyahu Tishbi mitoshavei Gilad. Eliyahu Hanavi, who was from the settlers of the place of Gilad, Tosafot just speaks out, why did they refer to Eliyahu Hanavi as a settler of Gilad? Look at Tosafot for a second. לכך נקרא מתושבי גלעד לפי שהרגו ישראל אנשי יבש גלעד על מעשה פילגש בגבעה. Story in the Navi of a Pilegesh בגבעה, the concubine in Gevah, where the Jewish army went in and they destroyed really much of the city of Gilad, which was in the Helik of Binyamin, where this tragedy happened. ולא נשאר ביבש גלעד כי מעט אנשים. Not too many people were left over מן המיושבים בעיר, that were from the original settlers. Ki kol ha'shar hayu im asafsuf. But they were all part of that rabble that was destroyed. Lekach me'id ki Eliyahu min ha'toshavim. Which means, saying Eliyahu Navi was from the original settlers of Gilad. Mitoshaveh Gilad. Now, this Eliyahu Navi, what does he say? Eliyahu Navi tells El Ahav, back to the Gemara, Hayashim, he swears. Eloi Yisrael, the God of Israel, asher amati lefarav imiye asherim ha'ele tal umatar ki im nefi. Devari, the rains and the dew are going to stop, and they're only going to come back according to my word. So you see, Eliyahu Navi received at that moment the ability to stop the rain. So based on what we learned yesterday in the Tosafot, that while the keys are not given over, it means they're not given over permanently, but they can be given over temporarily. So Eliyahu Navi was given the key to stop the rains. So he says, he made a swear that the rains are only going to come down according to my word. But he also said the rain and the rain and the dew, implying that while he stopped the dew as well. However, Uchtiv, when he brought it back, what does the Pasuk say? Lecharei el Ahav, go show Ahav, ve'etena matar al pene ha'adama. Eliyahu Navi says, go show Ahav, I'm bringing back the rains. The ilutal lo ka'amar leh. But he didn't tell him that. Go tell him that I'm bringing back the dew as well. Why? My tama mishum delo mi'etzar, because it never stopped in the first place. And therefore, you see what dews never stopped. So the Gemara asks the obvious question then: v'chi me'achar delo mi'etzar? If you're telling me the dew never stops, Eliyahu ashtabu'e lamale. What was he making a swear for then? He swore, I'm taking away the rains and the dew. But when he brought it back, he only brought back the rains. How can he bring back the dew? Because the dew never stops anyway. So what did he swear to take it away for then? Haki ka'amar le. Afilu tal divracha name lo ate. He told them, I'm taking away, there's different types of dew. There's regular tal, and then there's tal of beracha. The tal of beracha, that's the tal that's able to bring vegetation and cause things to grow. So Eliyahu Navi, in his promise, he said, what's going to happen is, you're going to be taken away, they're going to take away from you the rains, and we're going to take away from you tal debracha. So the Gemara says, v'lehadre le tal debracha. So go back to the question. So not Eliyahu Navi, when he's going to bring back the stuff, he should tell Ahav, we're going to bring back the rains that we took, I'm going to bring back tal. Why did he leave out tal? Gemara says, mishum delo min kira milta. Because it's not noticeable. Which means like this. There was dew every day. Right? So now when he says, and I'm bringing back the dew. Ahav can come along if he wants to be a cynic. And they come along and say, well, it never went in the first place. Hey, the dew is here. What do you mean you took it away? Hey, the dew is here. And therefore, Eliyahu Navi didn't want to make himself vulnerable to the criticism of Ahav. So therefore, when he came, brought it back, he comes out bringing back the rains. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, look at Rashi. V'lehedere letal debracha, third line. V'lema, he should tell Ahav, v'etena tal umatar. Gemara says, delo min kira milta, de'at tal hava mi'ikara. By the way, it was doing every day. ולא היה אחאב הרשע מודה בחזירה דטל של ברכה. He's not gonna admit that the tal of ברכה came back. דיאבה אומר ותנה טל ומטר, if he would have said טל ומטר, היה אחאב מקנטרו ואומר לו שלא נעצר. He would have told him, listen, it wasn't taken away in the first place. She says, when Eliyahu man, if he made the swear, what's going to happen, he's telling him what's happening. This is fact. This is going to happen. You agree with it, you don't agree. This is the fact that's going to happen. Now, stop, take away, tell the bracha. Okay, go. But now when he comes, I'm bringing it back. Now already he's opening himself up. Now he's coming, you're bringing it back. What are you bringing it back? It was here for the whole time. Now go explain to Ahab. No, it's Tal the Bracha, there's regular Tal, the other one, he's going to ready. This is a petach, an opening for Ahab now to become a cynic and question Eliyahu Nevi. So therefore, he had to leave out Tal. But what do you see from over here? The Tal came every day. Granted, could be Tal the Bracha is... sometimes comes some, but there is a dew that comes every day. Once we say there's a type of dew that comes every day, so the Hakamim did not mandate that you have to mention Buddha Tal. Because regardless, there's going to be a dew. Even though there's a type of dew, that's the point, that even though there's a type of dew that can be stopped. Tal de Bracha can be stopped, it doesn't matter. Since in the Tal picture, there's dew every day, some sort of Tal, that's why when we have the custom, we say Buddha Tal. We answer back Levracha in the Amidah, because now we know even though you have due, but we want it to be Levracha. That's right. Very good. Just say over the reef. One of the Mefarshim in the Ein Yaakov explains that originally Eliyahu Navi was not concerned about the claims against Ahav when he said Tal is going to be taken away, because it was obvious that Tal was taken away at least originally because nothing was growing. So Ahav couldn't needle Eliyahu Navi. So, oh, you didn't take away the Tal. Of course, look, there's nothing growing. So the Ahav couldn't say anything. But once already he's going to bring it back, he's not going to mention Tal. Why? Because now that it's going to start to rain, now the vegetation starts to grow. And then Ahav has a chance to come along and say, ah, so the dew was always here. It was the rain that was the item that was holding back the vegetation. Therefore you lied. You said you're taking away the Tal, and there was Tal every day, so you never took away the Tal to Beracha. So therefore on the way back, Eliyahu Navi left it out, not to be vulnerable for the criticisms of Ahav. Now it should be noted that the Ritba, very important Ritba over here, the Ritba asked the question that we mentioned. We'll just say it again. That really comes out Tal de Bracha stops. So if Tal de Bracha stops, how come the Hakamim did not say that you should mention Tal? Because now we need a certain Tal that could be taken away. So the Ritba says, Shekeban she'en shum shinui b'nehem. Since it's not a visible, it's not noticeable. When it does in the morning, you can't tell. Is this Tal de Bracha? Is this Tal the regular? So he says, Af lo shinui en el ayin. Certainly not visible. Ela shebetal tzu beracha, yesh rak beracha miyuhad. It's like something spiritual in the Tal de Beracha. Ve'ena givura nikenet. But you don't see the greatness of the givura v'kaz baruch hu. Lekach en naskir zot betfila beberacha. I guess something that's not evident and not recognizable. So therefore the Ritba says, even though it might be necessary, there is no mentioning of it. As opposed to rains already able to see the clear givurah when the rains come down, like we said, they hit the places on the earth, they cause the vegetation to grow. Comes the Gemara and says, Ruhot minalan de lo mi'atzre. We said winds do not stop. World cannot exist without daily winds. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi, Damar Kera, have a pasuk. This pasuk is in Zechariah. Ki ka'arba ruchot ha-shamayim, like the four corners of the earth, perasti etchem, I scattered you, neum Hashem. Like the four corners of the earth, I scattered you. The Gemara says, my ka'amalu, what is the Navi saying here? Ilema ha-ki ka'amalu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Maybe this is what Hashem is telling Bnei Yisrael. Dabratkinu, I have scattered you, be'arba ruchay de'alma. I have scattered the Jewish nation in the four corners of the world. Four directions. Can't be. Why? It should say in the four corners. But it doesn't say in the four corners. It says ki ke'arba, like the four corners. So therefore, it cannot mean that we were scattered in the four corners. Just like the world cannot exist without winds, כך אי אפשר לעולם בלא ישראל. So too, the world cannot exist without Israel. כי כארבע רוחות, you are like the winds, which means just like the winds cannot stop, because the world cannot exist without them, so too the world cannot exist without Yisrael. Because it is four types of winds. And therefore it's coming to say that what? That just like the winds have to exist constantly, so to Am Yisrael, if they weren't in existence, Am Yisrael, the world would be destroyed. Like the Pasuk says, in Lo Biriti Yomam Balayla, Hakot Shamayim Va'aretz Lo Samti. That's referring to Am Yisrael, the fact that they're around learning Torah. The Am Yisrael would not exist for a moment studying Torah, the world would cease to exist. So there's a connection between the Jewish nation and the winds. Ki ke'arba ruchot, you are like the arba ruchot. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Amar of Harina, Hilkach, therefore, Bimot Hama, in the summer, Amar Mashivaruah, Emmahazirinoto. Because since the winds are an all year round situation, doesn't matter if a fellow mentioned winds even in the summer. Okay? Now she says, what is the summer? From Nisan until Sukkot. Because it doesn't stop anyway, so you're not saying anything that's wrong. Amar Murida Geshem. Oh, but if in the summertime he said Murida Geshem, Mahazrinoto, you make him go back. Why? Because that's not the rainy season, and on the contrary, we don't want rain during that season. Like it says, after already Nisan time, it's a kedala to have rain. So therefore, it's one thing to say something that's superfluous, but to say something that's negative, that's already a problem. So the Gemara says, if you said Murid Geshem from Nisan until Sukkot, you're already, Amidah is invalid, because you're saying a negative, you're saying a kelala. Bimot Geshamim, now in the winter, the rainy season, lo amar mashiv aruach, em ma'azinoto. Because again, wind, even though let's say it's more windy in the rainy season, doesn't matter, but because wind never stops anyway. So even if you didn't mention it in the winter, there is no problem. However, lo amar murida geshem mahazirinoto. But if you forgot murida geshem in the winter, then already you have to repeat the amidah, because that's already a time where we need the geshem, we need the rains. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, by not saying it, you're skipping the praises of a Kadosh Baruch Hu at a time that it's needed. Now there's a great mahloket between the Sefaradim and the Ashkenazim, between Maran really and the Ramah, that when it comes in the winter and you forgot to say Murid Ageshem, if you said Murid Hatal instead, then already, since you did praise a Kadosh Baruch Hu on something, so according to Maran, you're okay. You don't have to repeat the Amidah. Whereas according to the Ramah, he says no. That, well, the Ramah, the custom of the Ashkenazim, they don't have a Murid Atal. They only say Murid Atal in the, they don't say Murid Atal in the summer. They don't have anything in the summer. So therefore, for them, by not saying Mashiva Ruach Murid Geshem, they're really not saying anything. And by not saying anything, you have to repeat the Amidah. So really for a Sefaradi, in the winter, you'll never have a case, really. You can have a case, but it's very rare that you'll have a case that you have to repeat. Because if you didn't say Mashiv Ram and the Geshem, you probably said the other insertion, which is Murid Atal. Once you said Murid Atal, you're covered. Whereas the Ashkenazim, if they don't say Mashiv Ram and the Geshem, they don't say anything. And if we're not saying anything, it's worse. They didn't praise God at all for anything, and therefore they would have to repeat the Amidah. That's a important machloket to remember. Not only this, Ela afilu amar. Even if a fellow said ma'avir haruach, he said the opposite. God takes away the winds. Umafriach hatal. God scatters the dew. En mahazirin oto. You do not return. Why? Because it doesn't matter what you're going to say. Lo me'atzre. Your words are meaningless, because the world needs the dew and the world needs the winds. So therefore, not praiseworthy what he did, but therefore it's not like his words are going to really mean anything, because regardless, the world could not exist without these items. Tana, we go further. Be'abim uberuchot lo chibu hakamim lehazkir. Regarding now clouds and winds, the rabbis did not mandate you to mention any praise regarding those items. The imba, that she says ba'avim, you would say mikasher avim, you fill the sky with clouds. The imba lazkir maskir. If you want to mention something about the clouds in the Amidah, mikasher avim, no problem. Now, why don't you have to mention it? My tama mishum de lo mi'atzre. Again, because also there's always clouds and there's always wind. Gemara's ve'lo mi'atzre. Is that so? They don't stop. Ve'atani Rabbi Yosef. It says in the pasuk in Kiryat Shema, Ve'asar et ha-shamayim. Period. What does that mean? Ve'asar et ha-shamayim. God is going to close the skies. From what? So the Gemara says, Min ha'avim u'min ha-ruchot. It means that he's going to close the skies from producing clouds and winds. So you see what? That the clouds and the winds actually can't stop. Gemara says, hold it. Atah amir min ha'avim u'min ha-ruchot. You're learning this pasuk means v'asar tashamayim on clouds and winds. Or eno ela min ha-matar. Maybe means v'asar tashamayim means from rain. Can't be. Kishehu omer ve'lo yihye matar. Hare matar amur. Already rain is explicitly mentioned already in the pasuk. Because the end of the pasuk says ve'lo yihye matar. So therefore I know already rains. So what does v'asar tashamayim must be? Hamari mekayim v'asar tashamayim min ha'avim u'min ha-ruchot. The Gemara says, Kasha aruchot aruchot, Kasha avim avim. Now we have a contradiction between the winds, because one statement says the winds never stop. But here it says the winds stop. One pasuk said, one Gemara says that the clouds never stop. But this pasuk says, even from clouds. So make up your mind. That Gemara says, avim avim, not kasha. No question. There's different type of clouds. Ha beharfe, that's the early clouds. That's the later clouds, which means the early clouds that come before the rain, those type of clouds, they never stop. However, the afle, those are the late clouds that come after the rain, in which there is a benefit to have those clouds, they can go away. And then when the pasuk says, God is going to stop the beneficial clouds that come after. But again, since there's a form of clouds that always is there, Hakamim did not mandate us to mention it. Ruhot aruhot lakashya. Now what about winds? No question. Ha biruach mesuya, ha biruach she'ena mesuya. Depends. Common winds, normal winds, every day doesn't stop. However, ruach she'ena mesuya, that's a, we call it a gust or a strong wind, that already can stop. So when it says, ve'asarat ha-shamayim, God is going to take the strong, uncommon winds and stop them. Now this implies that these strong winds are beneficial. Right. Now what in the world does a person want with a strong wind? So the Gemara says, ruach she'ena mesuya, hazya lebedareh. What do you mean? Ruach she'ena mesuya, we need these winds. You need it for bedareh, that's for the winnowing, which means when a person is in the granary, right? So he has his wheat. He threshes the wheat. Now you have the wheat and the chaff all mixed up. So what does he do? He throws the wheat up into the wind. Strong wind comes, blows away the chaff, and the heavy wheat falls down. So the Gemara is saying, what are you talking about? We should really mention the winds. Because you need these winds. These winds are very beneficial. When you tell me, Bnei Olam takes away Ruach She'ena Mesuya, hey, we need these winds. So therefore they should have made a takana that you have to say Mashiva Ruach. Because these winds are really very beneficial. Why did the rabbi say you don't have to mention it? So the Gemara says, you know why? Efshad b'navvata. You don't need them really. Because you could use a sieve or a sifter. See, there are other ways, there are other methods of winnowing your stuff, your wheat. So therefore, since you could do it with Nabata, they did not mandate you to mention anything about winds. Even though, yes, Ruach She'ena Mitzuya is beneficial, but since you can get away with doing it, doing without it, therefore they did not mandate you to mention it. Okay? That's the, and that's what it means to Kriyat Shema. Ve'asar tashamayim, God's going to stop the sky from bringing the uncommon winds that would benefit you for the bedareh. Tana. Ha'abim v'aruchot shniyot lematar. Now regarding clouds and wind, they are secondary to rain. Now she explains this to mean they're almost as beneficial to the earth as much as the rain. They're not like rain. Rain is number one. But second to rain is clouds and wind. Very beneficial. Well, what's the case? Amar Ula Vetima Rabbi Yehuda Debatar Mitra. The winds and the clouds that come after a rain, they are beneficial. They are secondary to the rain, which means they are valuable. Okay? The Memra de Maliutahi. You tell me that winds that come after rain are beneficial? Now we would assume the reason why it's beneficial is the wind comes along and dries up the rain, so therefore it doesn't flood the ground. There's no areas that have puddles of water that's going to cause the ground to flood. Or the wind scatters some of that water around other areas that might not have gotten enough. So we understand why the wind is beneficial after the rain. But we have another pasuk. The pasuk says, Yiten Hashem et metar arsecha abak ve'afar, that God is going to make the rains of your earth become abak ve'afar, dust and earth, which means not going to be beneficial. How does that manifest? Ve'amar ula ve'etima rav Yehuda zika debatar mitra. This is referring to the winds after the rain, implying that what? After it rains, now the earth is all muddy, then you have a wind. What happens? The wind picks up all the mud, and now that mud gets all stuck to all the produce, and therefore it's going to destroy the ground. So make up your mind. You just told me that the benefit is what? Wind after rain is beautiful. It's like secondary to rain. Mm-hmm. Now you tell me, it's a curse. That when it winds, when it blows the wind after the rain, Adonai, it destroys the crop. Abak ma'afar. So the Gemara says, Nakashya. Depends what type of winds, depends what type of rain. When the rain comes down softly, or when it comes down with force. Mm-hmm. Skip the parentheses, and the Gemara explains. Which is depends. Certain rains comes down softly on the ground, so the winds that follow that rain are not going to cause the earth to be picked up and scatter it around the fields and ruin everything. However, when it's a strong rain, then already the wind that follows has the ability to pick up the abak ve'afar and the earth and scatter it around, and therefore be destructive. So it depends. Therefore, really, I'll tell you, there's the wind after the rain. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. What does that depend on? What type of rain it was. If it's a soft rain, that's nahat, right? Or it's strong. Okay, that's good. So look at that sheet. As she says, when the rain comes down softly, it does not cause the dust to be picked up. When it comes down strong, then already the winds are not beneficial after. Comes Gemara and continues. Correct. Gemara says, "Ve'amar Rav Yehuda zika debatar mitra." That's the wind. One second. Correct. Gemara says, "Zika debatar mitra ke mitra." The wind that's after the rain is secondary to the rain, meaning it's beneficial, like we just said. Ibad de batar mitra, clouds that come after the rain, kimitra, also good. Clouds after rain is also beneficial. Shimshad de batar mitra, sun after rain, ketre mitre. That's already beneficial, like two rains. It's very good if it's sunny after the rain. So everything's good after the rain comes out. If windy, it's good. If it's cloudy, it's good. If it's sunny, it's also good. But that's the mai. To exclude what? Lemeute gilhe delilya vishimsha de bene karhe. So gilhe delilya is like the flashes of light seemingly from the moon. It seems if there's some light that flashes from the moon after a rain, that's already not so beneficial for the earth. Or shimsha de bene karhe. The sun that peeks out between the clouds after a rain, now you have bald spot patches in the sky. You have some clouds all over, and you have a bald patch, and the sun is able to peek through. That's already not beneficial. If it's fully sunny after the rain, that's great. But when you have partly cloudy and partly sunny after the rain, that is not beneficial. Rashi says, between the clouds, one place you see sunlight, another place you see cloudy. It's like the bald guy. He has hair on part of his head. He has baldness on the other side. That's why he calls it kireyah de bishim sheh. I mean, the baldness of the sun. I mean, the sky has a patchy, you know, one spot it's cloudy, one spot. That is, for some reason, obviously, not beneficial for the ground. Comes the Gemara, continues. Now, Tosfot really learns that it's actually like a, we would call a sun shower, where it's raining in one spot and it's sunny in another spot. Look at the bottom of Tosfot. Pirush kemo davar korchas shemikan mikan yordin geshamim. It's raining on both sides. Vashem zorech beemsa, and it's sunny in the middle. I can see sometimes. Zeh shemish lo maale. That type of sun is not good. Last piece of the Gemara. Amar Rava, maale talga leture. Snow is good for the mountains. Maale talga. Talga is shelig. Leture for the mountains. Kehamisha mitre. It's like five rains. With one rain is to the ground. I'm sorry. With one snow. Right. Maale talga leture. The snow is good for the mountains. Kehamisha mitre la'ara is equivalent to five rains to the ground. Now, why is snow beneficial to the mountains? For a few reasons. Number one, rain is not beneficial to the mountains because it slides off. And therefore the snow sticks. Secondly, snow is more beneficial for the mountains than it is to the lower-lying areas, because the snow now on the higher mountains is colder. And it was able to remain for a longer time. And not only does it irrigate the mountain, but more importantly, it insulates the mountain. And it protects it from the cold, which means the snow becomes like a blanket. Like the Pasuk says, Hanoten Sheleg Kasamir. The Borei Olam puts the snow like wool, which means that it protects the layer of the ground from frost. And therefore, it's very beneficial. The water can't do that, because the water, like I said, is going to slide right down. But the snow on the mountain is very beneficial, because it sticks, and it's cold on the mountain, so therefore it's able to maintain. Look at Rashi. Ma'alet talga leture, tekoshekin lebeka. And she says, by the way, snow is all the more so beneficial to the valley. It doesn't slide off the valley. It stays in the valley. Ela harim, enahem geshamim, ela shelig. Why? She geshamim yordim lemata. Because either, like I said, the rain slides down, so they need to have the snow. The odd shelig shebaamakim namas veolek lufnei achom. The snow in the valleys melts because of the heat. Shesholet sham kamaimu avabarim karu shelig. But in the mountain, it's called snow because it remains. Kamisham etel lara dachi mashal. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. What's the pasuk? Shneimar ki leshelig. Let's get this pasuk. Ki leshelig yomar heve ares vegeshem matar vegeshem mitrot uzo. Regarding snow, the pasuk says it's compared to geshem, that's one, matar, that's two, geshem, that's three, mitrot is plural, that's five. And therefore the pasuk is really saying that what? That they're going to say, ki the sheleg yomar hu eres, kishi yomar la sheleg heve eres, areu ke geshem matar ve geshem mitrot ve reshka hamisha, which means the snow to the mountain is going to be compared to the rain of the ares. How much so? Five times. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.